This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Jill Abramson is back in print, of a sort anyway. The former executive editor of the New York Times has written an appreciation of her late colleague Arthur Gelb in the Huffington Post. There may or may not be more revelations about the circumstances of her firing last week, but it has absolutely jump-started conversation in this country about female executives, how they're treated, and why there are so few of them. Nancy Cain from the Harvard Business School is here again to discuss topics of the day. Nancy, good to talk to you again.
Always a real pleasure, Kai.
So what is it about, I don't know, our economy, our society, that there are so few not only existing but new women CEOs in this economy?
So women now make up about, depending on how you count it, about half of the U.S. labor force. And yet, only about 3-4% of CEOs of public companies are women. I don't think that is primarily some kind of Oliver Stone-like conspiracy. I think it is primarily because they have only recently come into the kind of positions, management, right, and then specific kind of management jobs, which really constitute the water lines that feed the big river of top leadership talent.
Break that down for me a little bit. I mean, do CEOs traditionally come from outside? Do they work their way up? I mean, I'm thinking of Mary Barra here at GM, right? She was a GM for 30-something years and now finally has her whack at the top job.
People like Mary Barra, who came in from the inside and didn't stay in HR and didn't stay in some place, a function like legal or PR, but instead was moved around into manufacturing and research and development and marketing, right? She was experienced. She had a full plate of professional positions that made her a great candidate, you know, to run this huge auto company.
How long do you think it's going to be? And I ask you, in your capacity as a historian, really, how long is it going to be before we're not talking about this anymore like it's a rarity?
I think we're talking about 10 years.
Wow.
And the reason I say that is because my own experience as a historian shows that when you have, you know, really disruptive, really important, really good social change of the kind we're talking about here, where everybody benefits from talented women, you know, stepping up and using their gifts in positions of authority. That kind of social change isn't a line. It's a curve, and it's slow to begin with, just like the adoption of, say, a new technology. And then it ratchets up, and it has all these spillover and second-order and third-order effects. You know, talented women in positions of power mentor other women. They mentor other women. And so the curve gets really steep much more quickly after a certain point, and I really believe we've hit that tipping point.
Just because I mentioned it up in the introduction to our talk, I will come back to Jill Abramson. Do you, and I'm not going to characterize it in anyway, because it's a loaded topic, but is the mere happening of an event like that, high profile as it was, and getting people to think about the role of women in the workplace, is that a helpful or a harmful thing?
You know, I think it's both, Kai. It's helpful in that, you know, it brings to light one more time that women in positions of power have to work extra hard, have to be extra good. The negative side is that it creates a kind of vicarious feeding frenzy around who's right and who's wrong and what is the real gossip here. And I'm not sure that's helping any ambitious young man or young woman nurture their gifts and take the next smart step toward, you know, living up to their dreams and the talents they have.
Nancy Cain at the Harvard Business School. Nancy, thanks.
Real pleasure.